So we've reached that part of the week. MLS Monday is back. Yes, it's a Tuesday, but this is a kind of flexible thing. We're joined, as always, by Drew Farmer, our MLS expert. Drew, welcome.
Hey, Andy. Better late than never, and the masses must know about MLS, so we're back. For a special Tuesday.
It is actually a special Tuesday. It's almost like we timed this brilliantly, because if we'd have done MLS Monday on its usual day, we wouldn't have known anything official about this World Cup joint bid. Now, though, we know Mexico, US, Canada, they are getting together. So before we have more MLS chat, let's just look at this, because, of course, North America and the USA specifically has history when it comes to hosting the tournament.
A joint bid being launched by the USA, Canada, and Mexico, which is very exciting. And it looks like there will be 60 games is the idea, to be played in the U.S., with 10 each being played in Mexico and Canada. As we said, a huge bid here for this. And with the infrastructure basically already in place with the stadiums that that the U.S., Canada, and Mexico already have, not a lot really that has to be done for the 2026 World Cup, and some have already saying that this is going to be the most lucrative World Cup of them all, well, at least to that point, when it kicks off, if the U.S., Canada, and Mexico are able to acquire it.
You've mentioned there about the state of the venues. I can't remember. I'm actually just doing a quick check as I actually go, and I think they were largely NFL stadia and things through the 94 World Cup, where by now, because of MLS, there's some fine stadia actually in the USA and Canada, and of course Mexico's got its own excellent league as well. So it is actually, if you look at it from a FIFA point of view, it makes sense, because they're ticking their boxes of it being in more than one nation. They're actually geographically not that far apart, and there's lots of ready-made stadia that have 20 to 45, 50,000 capacities ready to go that are used to hosting soccer.
Well, yes, that's right. Unfortunately, I would say that a lot of the MLS stadiums in the U.S., and even the ones in Canada, probably won't host the World Cup games. They'll probably be moving those to the large NFL stadiums that hold around 70,000 fans, 80,000 fans. There will be a few exceptions, of course, where, for example, Seattle Sounders, they share a venue with Seattle Seahawks of the NFL, and they can get 69,000 people into that stadium. So even though we have seen these fantastic stadiums that are able to sell out or nearly sell out every weekend in Major League Soccer, I'm pretty sure that in the U.S. it will be those NFL stadiums hosting these games. But, of course, in Mexico, they do have the large soccer facilities to host the games. And, of course, Mexico City was the host of a World Cup final previously. So they'll definitely be having games down there.
If FIFA were brave, it'd look to book some of these big NCAA football stadia, like the Michigan one that's a capacity of, what, about 119,000? See if soccer over in America could fill that.
Yeah. I think maybe some of the security measures would have to be increased for that. But it would be quite interesting to see one of those stadiums. Of course, the 94 World Cup final was held at the Rose Bowl in Pasadena. And I believe that's somewhere around 100,000 fans can get into that stadium for a game.
Quick request, though, of FIFA and anybody listening in America, in the opening ceremony, no musicians taking penalties. Diana Ross missing that one in the World Cup 94. It's still played back to this day. It's a terrible miss. Terrible. Now let's look then at Major League Soccer, which is our main talking point on MLS Monday. I mean, we're at the kind of Easter time, so a quick look, if you like, a kind of end of term look. And there are certain teams starting to stand out now and looking much improved. Chicago being one, Houston, Portland, Orlando, and so on.
That's right, Andy. We're about 6 weeks into the season right now, and as you mentioned, those teams are looking really good. Portland with another solid victory over the weekend, 3-1 over Philadelphia Union, who right now, Philadelphia Union is taking the lead for the team to be the worst in MLS this season.
Which, considering Minnesota are in the league, is quite an impressive feat, to be fair.
It absolutely is. And we've talked about Chicago in the last couple of seasons, but Philadelphia is looking extremely poor. Only 2 points from a possible 15 so far this season, and the pressure is really mounting on coach Jim Curtin. He's been there for about three seasons and was able to get Philadelphia into the playoffs last season, but they've just been on such a downward spiral since the end of the 2016 season. They are winless in their last 13, dating back to last year, and things just continuing to go wrong for them as they need to make a change, it looks like, at the coaching position.
Just as we're talking coaches, I mean, you've mentioned Philly's Jim Curtin. There's also some others that spring to mind of managers who, without wishing to sort of be cruel in a way, but how long can they last in their current role before things are changed? And I've heard the phrase treading water concerning one or two MLS head coaches. I mean, is that fair? And who do you think might fit into that category, Drew?
Andy, for me, I think a lot of coaches in MLS tend to tread water at times, and I think that's because that there is an idea in Major League Soccer that teams want to stick with the man in charge through a season and get to the offseason and see what can happen there. Of course, we have the playoff structure in Major League Soccer, which kind of allows that thinking to last, that you make the playoffs and all of a sudden your season can turn around in a moment's notice. RSL, Real Salt Lake, that is, recently changed their head coach, releasing Jeff Kosser from his contract and bringing in Mike Petke. He's a former New York Red Bulls coach, and that move has already paid off with Real Salt Lake winning over the weekend against Vancouver, and it looks like that could really pick up their hopes. They're at the bottom of the Western Conference at the moment, and for me, making that kind of a move at this point in the season, as we get more towards the summer, I think that's a great idea to try to get some fresh blood in and try to get some new tactics in. But as you were saying earlier about teams who are treading water right now, I think we've got teams such as Vancouver who have also started the season very poorly, who could really use a bit of a coaching change as well.
Just as you mentioned RSL, Real Salt Lake, they were involved in a game which, to me, as an English football fan, it looked a bit bizarre over the weekend. I appreciate North America has certain extremes of weather, particularly once you get north of the border into Canada, that we don't experience here. But the way I described the game between RSL and I think it was Vancouver was basically a football match broke out in the middle of a snowball fight.
Yeah, that's right. It was a massive snowstorm going on in Salt Lake, and of course, Salt Lake is in the Rocky Mountain area of the United States, so this time of year you're going to see some very bizarre weather at times. And Salt Lake was able to benefit off of that snow with a 3-0 victory over Vancouver. But, this is one of the reasons why Major League Soccer, I don't think, will ever go to an autumn to spring season, because during that December, January, February time, it's just going to be too cold and too snowy. But that's the second snowy match we've seen this season, the first one being Minnesota and Atlanta a few weeks ago.
Just very quickly, just as we've looked quickly or mentioned Atlanta, considering they've only just started, I think they're third in the East. They've had a really solid start to their Major League Soccer career.
Yeah, that's right. Atlanta third in the East and leading the Eastern Conference in goals scored with 13. And as you and I had said earlier in the season, this is a team that they had an idea when they put them together, a little bit more of a strategy, I think, than what Minnesota did when they were assembling their parts together. But this is a solid team so far, and I think a lot of expectations there to make the playoffs in an Eastern Conference that is, as I continue to say year in, year out, is the weaker of the two.
Well, if you want some more Major League Soccer chat, if you're on Twitter, you can find myself and Drew chatting away using the hashtag MLS Monday. We'll be back next week again after the Easter bank holiday weekend. For this week, though, Drew, thank you for joining me with more Major League Soccer talk.
Yeah, Andy, always good to be back.